We are going to call our meeting to order. If we could take roll call.
Vice President Chung.
Here.
Member Fay.
Here.
Member Kobus.
Here.
Member May.
Here.
Member McCluskey.
Here.
Member Rotroff.
Here.
President Kowalczyk.
Here. Okay, tonight we are going to start our evening with student recognition of the Lions Park Peer Mediators. We're going to have Principal Katie Kelly introduce the kids.
Just as soon as I figure out how to work the microphone. Well, good evening and welcome. We are thrilled to have our peer mediators here tonight. I see many of them in the audience. We feel really fortunate to have this group at Lions Park. The kids not only do a great job of... The peer mediators are led by Mrs. Gail Valentini and Ms. Julie Gale. Mrs. Valentini is our social worker. Ms. Gale is a special education teacher. The students who you will meet in just a few moments were selected using a rigorous process. We have many applicants each year, and we only choose, depends on the size of the grade level, but somewhere from 12 to 16 peer mediators. And the kids actually fill out an application, so it's a good real life job experience for them. As I said, we get more applicants than we have spaces. So after we get the applications, they're reviewed by the teachers, and they are then taken into consideration how well these students do at demonstrating safety, respect, and responsibility in our school, because obviously we want to have just our very best role models in this position if they're going to be helping other students. The peer mediators are then required to attend a two-day training in August, so they give up time out of their summer vacation to come to either Lions Park or Fairview, where they're jointly trained with the Fairview peer mediation team. Through doing, they act things out, they discuss, they watch videos, and they learn how to resolve conflicts in an appropriate, age-appropriate manner. After they attend the training, then they spend time out on our playgrounds each day. They volunteer their time to patrol the playgrounds. They wear white belts so that they stand out to the other students. And sometimes they engage in more formal mediations that are guided by one of our staff members. And sometimes it's just in the moment on the playground. If two kids are having a disagreement, it might be a more minor thing. And then other times it's more formal, where kids actually fill out a request for more formal peer mediation. We really feel so lucky to have this group who are committed to being role models and helping others. At this time, I'd like to call them up. I know they're not all here, but I'm going to call all of their names so that they can all come up and be recognized. And even if they're not here, maybe they can hear their name later on the podcast. So I would like to introduce to you Maddie Bilecki, Sebastian Droz, Bella Garza, Sarah George, Wanya Inham, come on up, Wanya. Thank you for your service to Lions Park. You can stay up here, Wanya. Lucy Kirkman. Thank you for your service. Kara Ibsen. Marty Kulak, I saw him in the audience. Thank you for your service. Alicia Majeski. Madeline Marling. Emily Mastropolo. Jane Nash. Thank you for your service. Marjorie Savard. Liam Seymour. Raymond Sulak. And Sam Wozniak. Thank you, Sam, for your service. I'm so glad that these students and their families made an effort to attend tonight. I know it is an extremely busy time with the holidays right around the corner, so we thank you all for taking time out of your lives and schedules, but it is our honor to recognize your children for the important role they play at Lions Park. So thank you very much.
We had some certificates to give out, and I noticed, how many? Five, one, two, three, six. I can count. All right. What are your names really quick? Okay. Oh, Wanya, here you go. Thank you very much. The next one. What is your name again? Lucy? Lucy Kirkman? Thank you very much. We have Marty Kulak. I heard that one. Thank you very much. Who is next in line? Jane Nash. There's a lot of you guys. Jane Nash, thank you very much. Liam. Liam Seymour. Thank you. And Sam Wozniak. Thank you so much. Thank you for all you do, all the help you give to the other kids at the school, too. We thank you. Thank you very much. And we have all these for you to bring out to the other kids, okay? So thank you.
Thank you very much. I did want to recognize Ms. Gail Valentini, one of their leaders, who's here in the audience. So thank you, Gail.
I was a mediator once on the fly. I was at a gas station, and the clerk and the customer almost got into a fist fight over, she said, I want $10 apparently.
Okay, we're going to start with staff reports next. Brian, do you have an NSSEO report? No,
I don't.
And I was for the Ed Foundation, and it was yesterday. And the main part of the meeting, they were kind of just talking about grants, the part where I stayed because the secretary wasn't there to take notes. I wasn't taking that job. They got a lot of grant requests, and they were trying to emphasize that the fall is a smaller event and the spring is a bigger event, and to go back and if you resubmit, you don't have to go through the whole rigmarole, change the date, do what you need to do, resubmit and try again, and don't give up. And they're happy to do this, and they wish they had more. And their next meeting is in January, and they're working on the gala and all that. They made me kind of leave. They had minion work to do, which is a lot of work. Okay, next up, any PTO reports? Any parties? No? Oh, there we go. Go ahead.
So I attended the Lincoln PTO just on Tuesday, actually. And, you know, a lot of activities going on. The seventh grade just held their activity, which was at Get Air. And there's an upcoming ski trip for the school that's coming up on the 26th of January. So they set their date. One thing that I found very interesting, there's actually a group of parents of special needs kids that have actually, they're actually working to form their own PTO and actually work across the schools. So Christine Pellizzari came and presented at Lincoln, and she's going to try to get into the other PTOs. And what they're looking to do is actually coordinate activities to make them hopefully more accessible to the kids. And so they're actually looking, they're still trying to figure out exactly the mechanics, but they're looking for each of the PTOs to actually help them out financially from each one so that they can actually hold activities that maybe cross over the schools and but actually try to tap into kids, you know, maybe kids as some other kids as buddies that can actually help out from a service perspective. So I think a really nice concept that I think we'll be hearing more about as she gets out to the other PTOs. Lincoln was the first one that she had a chance to come in and present at, so she's still, I think, formulating what's going to happen. But I thought just a really, really nice idea and something that, you know, I hope we hear more about as they go forward.
Well, that sounds like a great concept. Next is board president report. We will be discussing it a little later, the community engagement and specifically what we will be talking about, which I think would be the survey. Also, I want to ask Kim, I asked her earlier if she could just give an update on the delegation for the IASB.
Sure.
In November.
Well, it was a really great experience to have been in that room. I think all told there were slightly more than 400 delegates from the various different school districts within the state of Illinois. And for what I understand, that wasn't even a complete representation, that there were still others that were unrepresented in that context. I know we, as a board, had heard a lot about primarily the resolution that had to do with arming volunteer staff to, you know, as a increased safety measure in the schools. I think most people are aware now that that resolution got voted down by a margin of about 52 votes. And there were two other school safety resolutions that were discussed, one which was approved that will authorize the Illinois Association of School Boards to lobby in Springfield for funding to make grants available to schools who, I guess, would apply to have school resource officers in their buildings. And then there was the other one that had to do with a school district, I think, in Peoria that had previously had a police force. They were reauthorized to reinstate their police force, but it was a very narrow scope for that resolution. So those were kind of the ones that we had been hearing a lot of conversation about in the community and some individuals that had presented to us as a board as well. But I was very pleased and privileged to have been a part of that and I'm really glad to have seen many of the things that I think we as a board had voted against were not successful.
Thank you very much. We can get started, if you want, on our staff reports, the 2019 satisfaction survey. Sorry, community comments. I apologize. Bypassed it completely. Does anybody from the community like to make any comments?
support our current administration and you, the school board, have given us. It's because of that support that we are able to provide the community with the high quality of education that they have grown accustomed to, and that we are able to continue with that high quality of education. We look forward to spending winter break with our families and rejuvenating and coming back and having the second half of our 19-20 school year be as fantastic as the first half has been. That's all.
Thank you very much. We hope the same. Now we can do the satisfaction survey presentation.
Well, I'm Bill Foster. I'm with School Perceptions. Thanks for having me back again. I was just asking Elaine, I guess I was here three years ago, the winter of 2016, my notes said, and I think two or three years before that. So I show up, I have a little more gray hair each time, but so I'm with School Perceptions. My job tonight is to take you through this year's community survey and kind of share the results with you. So we're still School Perceptions. We still do a lot of surveys around the country. And I think last time I was here, we were working more on the referendum. This is a little bit more about climate and planning. So the survey went out in October. We had 1,257 respondents. People could take the survey either online or paper. So we processed about 423 paper surveys, which gave us a response rate of 16%. And I asked myself, how did that compare to 3 years ago? And the answer is we're a little lower. But last time we're using the R word, a little more. And when you use the R word, you tend to have a little higher response rate. So I think we had about 150 more responses last time. I think we're at 17% as opposed to 16%. Still a very good response rate from a statistical standpoint. It gives us a margin of error, plus or minus 2.8%. So who took our survey? We had a couple demographic questions. One had to do with age. Here we, you know, the highest area was the 36 to 45 because we've got a lot of parents responding. We have 16% of our seniors responding. And then how long have you lived in the district? I guess when you move here, you stay here because 58% of our folks have been here more than 10 years. Better. So we had 6% grandparents. Graduates themselves were 17%. Parents of children younger than elementary age, 39%, and parents themselves, 55%. And then if they were parents, we could disaggregate or break the data down by this question. And then grade level, we could do cross tabs on this as well. And one or more of my children attending is a special ed at 17% and ELL at 7%. So then we get into the financial background and future planning. So there's a small R, I guess, being used, kind of kicking around, what should we do next? So we provided some background information in the survey. What was actually in the survey is in the report. So when you ask yourself 2 months from now, what did that survey actually say? Well, this was the background information that was in the survey. And then we asked people for a prioritization, so you could check up to 4, so these percentages don't add up to 100%. But in terms of strategic planning and from a board perspective, what should you focus on? Number one, really across the, actually for non-parents, and by the way, this is sorted on non-parent, non-staff, there's a little bit of bouncing around. Maintaining co-curricular and extracurricular programs was important. Maintaining elementary, middle, and class size, that was actually most important for the staff and for the parents. Recruiting, retaining high-quality staff, maintain support services for students who have difficulty learning. Now, those are your top 4. And then, by the way, anytime you make a list, you have to have a top and a bottom. You can't not have a bottom. So it's not to say that communications isn't a priority. It might be the fact that you're already doing a really good job, so it's not a priority. So then we go to communications. How would you, or what's your preferred method for receiving district information? Here we thought it made sense to take the staff out completely because we've got our own internal ways to communicate with the staff. We then sorted it for parents. Parents are in blue. Their number one preferred method is the school newsletter each Friday. And they like the superintendent's message and the teacher newsletters. And then it kind of drops down. For our non-parents, non-parents are in red. Their number one is actually the Daily Herald. So more than a third of our non-parent, non-staff are actually reading the Daily Herald. And their second looks to be the student's superintendent's message. They might receive that as well. One interesting little factoid, we're going to look at Facebook a little bit more closely. You can see that 24%, I think in your district it's over 80% of the parents are actually on Facebook, but probably 24% are checking it regularly. So it's not to say you don't communicate that way, but it's, I think there's a difference between a frequent user and a person who just has it, I guess. During the past year, how would you rate the frequency of communication? Again, we took staff out. And really, the parents are saying it's just right at 84%. And the non-parent, non-staff group, one would argue they might like a little bit more communication, but 57% of those folks had no opinion. And then how would you rate the content? Here you could be very effective, somewhat effective, or not effective. And again, parents think you're doing a really good job. And even your non-parents, the ones who have an opinion, thought you're somewhat effective. And then how often do you read the school newsletter? This is only parents. It's well read. 74% are saying always, with another 20% sometimes. That's a pretty well read newsletter. And again, parents only, what if any of the following forms of social media do you use? See, here we have 86% using it, but 25% checking it. Instagram is at 56 and 26 are following. And Twitter, I think you had 6% that actually follow the district, which is actually better than most districts. And again, parents only, do you follow the district on any of the following forms? So we've got the Facebook at 51, they follow, and then the Twitter at 15. This one, they had to pick one, I guess. So then we actually get into the background information as it relates to Lincoln Middle School. And again, you've got a decision coming up at some point, so we provided the background information that you've got an older building. It's not getting any younger. It was built in 1950, and a significant investment will be needed. We shared some pictures in the survey. And it's time to start thinking about what we should do. We gave respondents two options. We could update building systems, renovate and expand existing classrooms with an estimate of $40 to $60 million, or should we build a new middle school, and that might be $65 to $80 million. Here we broke the data out by parents are in red, non-parents are in blue, and the staff are in green. So let's look at the staff first. Pretty clearly, the staff better than 2 to 1 would like to build new versus renovate what we have. And then you've got another 14% that would support either option. Staff is very important because they're probably most knowledgeable and they're in the district every day. However, they represent less than 1% of your voters. So they're not going to carry a referendum. So then we go to the parents. Parents represent about 25% of your community typically. And they're at 41% with building new versus the 16%, which is to kind of renovate. And then our arguably most important group, the non-parent, non-staff, they're the most important because they get the most votes. And they're tied. They're split right now at a dead heat at 25% building new versus 25% saying I need to address, fix up what you have. And then another 35% saying, I'm not sure I need more information. So they're kind of, we don't know yet. So I think you're fairly early in this decision or this conversation, and probably the non-parent, non-staff haven't heard much about it yet. So maybe there has to be a little bit more outreach and engagement with that non-parent, non-staff group. So then we go to overall satisfaction. Here the response scale was from strongly agree to strongly disagree. So if everybody would have said strongly agree, it'd be a 5. So you can't get higher than a 5. Everybody would have strongly disagreed, it'd be a 1. We take out a neutral and force a leaning. So we kind of force people to either agree or disagree. So that's why there's not a neutral and there's not a 3. So if people are disagreeing, it does pull your average down. But you see really across the board, recommend the district to a friend moving into the area. We are all well above agree. Satisfied with communication. Again, a little bit lower on non-parent, non-staff, but that's typical with every school district. And satisfied with financial management, you're at kind of the 3 and above there. And then how would you rate the district compared to neighboring districts? Here again, we broke it into 3 mutually exclusive subgroups. And really you can see the trend is much better to a little better. And then we've got about 0.25% of the folks who are at the same. And then really a little worse or much worse, not very many. Your staff is at 16%, parents are at 9%, and your non-parent, non-staff are at 18%. So generally a strong leaning towards better than your neighboring districts. And then overall satisfaction, here you can see people are generally very satisfied or satisfied. When I look at this data, I always go, my glass is half empty, so I go to the not satisfied, very unsatisfied, and kind of add those together. And I'd say based on my experience, you're better than average, better than most districts. In terms of those folks that have a bee in their bonnet about something that they're not, that they don't like. So you're better than average. And then staff performance, please rate your overall perception of the district in the following areas. Here you could be excellent, good, fair, or poor. So here it went from a 4 to a 1. Again, it's a simple average for each of the groups. And so staff is kind of evaluating staff, so you can see how that moves from 3.68 down to 2.88. Parents are from a 3.5 down to a 3.05. And then they're non-parent, non-staff. So they all have different perceptions. And by the way, this is very, very typical in terms of, of course, the staff loves the staff because they're kind of, that's kind of a self-evaluation. And then longitudinal comparison. So I asked myself, how does this compare? And actually, I looked at the survey from 3 years ago, and it really didn't look like this survey at all. It was really about kind of the referendum planning and heavy on communication, things like that. But we have used and maintained these questions from 2011, 13, 16, and 19. So we've got a little bit of longitudinal data to share tonight. And the question is, are we getting better as a district over the past 8 years? And the answer is yes. You know, teachers are a little bit better, pretty similar. Support staff has improved. Teacher assistants are a little improved. Principals are kind of improved a little. I guess we didn't do the support staff back in the early years. Board of Education's moved from a 2.48 to 2.99, which in our world is significant. So way to go, board. And district administration's moved from a 2.59 to 2.93. So again, significant improvement there. And then we have data for each school. So each of your schools, we asked a set of questions that were evaluated against this agreement response rubric. So it was, again, a simple average on your right. And then it's a little bit easier sometimes to look at the data and say, well, how many people either strongly agreed or agreed? So we put that in as a percentage in the second column. And you can see really at Westbrook, strong marks across the board. Same at Fairview. Everything's above a 4. Lions Park, very strong. And Lincoln Middle School is a little bit lower on a couple items, but in our world, that's very typical for middle schools. Middle schools are become more difficult. Having had 3 middle school kids myself, it's a more difficult age than elementary is. So you've got a few marks that are a little bit lower, but overall, very, very positive. And I think that's it. So questions on your survey?
Did anyone have any questions? Jerry, go ahead.
I had two things. One was actually on the age distribution versus the last time. Do you know, were there the senior representation? Do you have any idea if it was similar?
I could look really quick. I think there was more seniors last time.
Okay, that's what I would have thought.
Yeah,
okay.
I think the difference was, I was just looking at that earlier. Actually, right here. Well, actually, last time we had 16% seniors as well. So I guess.
Oh, okay, so it was similar. Yeah. Okay, I thought with, yeah. We used to have a kind of a group of seniors that would attend our meetings regularly up till referendum, so I expected that to be higher. And then the interesting thing, actually there were two things, the staff satisfaction. When you had put that up there,
which one? Before the facility? I'm trying to remember where that was.
In terms of their view of the district and
The longitudinal view?
In terms of their view of, it was when the much better, actually, I'm sorry, is the next chart, I think. Keep going back.
Go back.
It was the one where, is it much better? Is it this?
Oh, okay.
Or I'm sorry, no, where they viewed it as the district is much better.
Compared to neighboring to other districts.
Yeah, versus other districts, correct.
Yep.
I was actually surprised to see that the staff actually had more of a skew towards a little better than the parents did, and they were actually more distributed like the non-parents, which I would have thought that the staff would, I don't know if that's typical, but yeah. I would have expected the staff to be heavily stacked towards the left.
Yeah, so what they're really doing, I don't know exactly, my suspicion is everybody's reacting to a perception. So first perception is, well, who are our neighbors and how do we compare? So a non-parent might view it just based on safety, maybe academics, but it's kind of a general perception. Parents is going to be more about kind of what activities are available and academics, things like that. I suspect staff might be compensation and things like that. I don't know. I'm just kind of guessing. But, you know, their minds are kind of like that as opposed to how is it affecting me personally as opposed to the education.
That's what it struck me, because I was interpreting it as a parent, so
right.
And I'm thinking, okay, if I'm in that role, I would have been skewed way over there. So
I think people's criteria change depending on their their lens.
And the other thing was the please rate your perception of District 57 in the following areas. I noticed that you guys had intentionally used in some of the other ones 5, 4, 2, and 1, and this one you actually went 4, 3, 2, 1. Mm-hmm. Was there any particular reason why you guys did this one differently?
It's kind of a story of the question sets we've used over the years. Usually when we write a survey, we try to keep them all the same, but this survey's been a bit of it's changed depending on what the things we want to target are for that particular year. And for this one, we wanted to we wanted to maintain that scale because we wanted to be able to provide the board longitudinal data. So if we would have changed it to some sort of agreement scale, then we would have lost the longitudinal. So that's why it's, why it's different.
Okay. That was it for me.
Thank you. Does anybody else have any questions? Kim, go ahead.
I was just curious about the overall participation rate. I think you said it was 16%.
16%.
And that's relatively common, because I read that as very low.
No, it's not really. It's not low. It has to do with so typical for us is around 18% for a community survey, sometimes a little bit higher, but probably 90% of the surveys we do have to do with referendum preparation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're talking about referendums, people are pretty engaged, and sometimes 25-30% or more. We'll get involved in a community survey for that. When it's just for planning, it's really the non-parents we're talking about now. They're not as concerned. So when they see it, they might look at it, they might read it, but they say, I'm not as interested in this. So as a result, your participation rate drops a bit. The other fact is that if people are really angry, they tend to take the survey more. So it's kind of a, sometimes a lower response rate actually is an indication that there's nothing, there's no fires burning. So.
Makes sense. Thank you.
So it's positive to be a little lower.
It is.
It's a good thing. Yep. Vicki?
So I just had three things that stood out to me, that not necessarily questions, but on the sheet where we asked everyone to check up to four of the following budget priorities. So and then the fact that different categories of people score different things higher, but the maintain elementary and middle school class sizes, which has been a topic of conversation for our board, and even before I was on the board, again and again, and so I just feel like, so this is just for me like another reminder that even though the most important influence or factor in the classroom is obviously the teacher, so it's recruit and retain high quality staff, but the perception, it's very close, but yes, but class sizes are still very important to staff, to parents, and to some extent the non-parents as well. So yeah, so that just is just a reminder of how our community is, what our community prioritizes.
And just a note on that, sometimes it's not only board policy regarding those issues, it also drives communication strategy. So a question is, what should we talk about? The things on the top of the list are good things to talk about.
Yes.
In your communication.
Yeah. The second thing, I just wanted to, a little shout out to Jenny Quinn. How would you rate the content of the district's communication? So high, and Jenny is amazing. So thank you for all your awesome work.
That's true.
For our district. Yay. And I guess the third thing, which maybe we'll talk about later, and especially after the, if we choose to do the forum, but what option would you support the district exploring for Lincoln? And I guess I was surprised that build a new middle school received such a high percentage of votes. Surprised, and when you look at these numbers, that makes sense because 40 to 60 versus 65 to 80. But I just was, I just didn't expect this. Yeah.
I was just going to say, I think too with that, because there were so many individuals that chose, I would support either option, right? You can sort of add those numbers to kind of either category, and it makes it seem like there's that much more support for that option. I was surprised by that too.
And the potential with the not sure. That could tip the scales even more.
Actually, on that point, I have a quick question. Those figures, 40 to 60 million, 65 to 80 million, where did those figures come from?
Past conversations with the architects and then our construction management companies. When we look at the difference between brick and mortar versus mechanical, and we've had estimates. When we first started the referendum process, we had estimates about what a new middle school would cost at the time, because if you remember, prior to us deciding which referendum we were going to move forward with, we did entertain the thought of doing a building referendum. So,
mm-hmm. My second question is, is option one actually an option? Because the concern is we throw this out as an option, and maybe it's just not an option. How do you expand Lincoln if it's already so chopped up?
So the biggest
and how do you do it?
Yeah, the biggest challenge with Lincoln, as far as let's say renovation. So if we were to renovate Lincoln, most of the classrooms, the physical classroom space, would not be increased. The classroom sizes would not change. So what we would, what we would do is, we'd replace all the floors, replace all the furniture, replace all the mechanicals throughout the building. the area that is in the greatest need is the 300-400 wing. That split level that is right in the middle of the area is not, you know, it's not designed very well, as to a lot of congestion. So me just speaking as a possible, you know, talking to my colleagues in other areas and what they've done, what a possible expansion renovation could look like would be demolishing the 300-400 wing, replacing that with a two-story addition, and then in that area you would be able to have larger classrooms for science labs, eighth grade classrooms, while keeping the remaining building intact, where you would do those type of things. I talked about the mechanicals and all the type of updates. When you're looking at those two options, I guess the challenge and the question that everyone would ask themselves is if you're going to pour, you know, a considerable amount of money into an aging facility, do you want to save a little bit of money by renovating it versus building new? But as far as a plan of renovation and expanding, that would be something that would definitely come to mind.
I know it's so premature to be talking about this, but could you do that kind of renovation in a summertime period?
There are ways to do that. Like, if you remember when we put on the Fairview addition, we started working in, you know, in March, where we were doing some building of the outside brick and mortar before school was out. So yes, it would there would be an ability to be able to do some of that building, for example, around the 300-400 wings. May not be the most conducive for the learning environment because it, you know, be quite noisy. And then, as you know, in that particular summer, we would probably alter the school calendar where we would, you know, try to get out of school as soon as possible, maybe extend the opening of school, let's say, to after Labor Day, where to give construction an extra, you know, 2 to 3 weeks or so to be able to complete the project. It is possible, but again, it would look very different than a typical construction summer would look like.
I have to say, we were at the conference downtown, and they had architectural designs, renovations, new buildings they had in this one area by the bookstore that they had. And it gave, you know, before and after approximation of the cost. And there was one, which is School District 34. They put in a brand new middle school, and they had a referendum. And I believe their total cost was $40 million-ish, and that was for a brand new facility. So,
let's do it.
So Brian's writing the check. So I mean, that was just to think that it might not be as much as the 65 to 8. It might not be, but we can talk about that later. Does anybody, and to piggyback on Vicky, you do a great job, Jenny. You're a very calming effect on the Facebook page. You answer questions. You're great. And also the four main items, the maintained co-curricular, extracurricular. I have to say, I was at a band concert. I went to an orchestra. We had the winter concerts, the chorus, and I was lucky enough to go to Prospects, big old fine arts festival. And they do an awesome job, and they do even better when they keep going along in the music department. So great job down here in 57 for that. And it's nice to see that that's high on the list of what people want to maintain. That's great. And also the class sizes, which we want to keep where we have them. We don't want to go crazy. We don't want any big classrooms either. And the recruit and the retain, the high-quality staff, that's what we all want, and the services for the students who have difficulty learning. So, and they just get better when they get the help that they need. Does anybody else have any questions or comments? Nope. Thank you very much. Now, I did make a mistake early on. I was supposed to have our hearing for the levy. My bad. So can we do that now?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Let us call the public hearing on the 2019 tax levy. Should we do another roll call for this specifically, or we're good? Okay. Go for it, Adam.
Hello? Okay. So this is the public hearing on the 2019 tax levy. I just want to spend a few minutes recapping the November presentation. So the total proposed levy increase over the last year in the capped fund areas is
Okay. Anybody have questions up here? Okay, Adam.
Close the public hearing.
We're going to close the public hearing. Okay, we're going to open back up to normal session. Thank you very much, Adam. And then you're also going to stay there because you're going to do the student fee presentation.
Thank you. In December of every year, we come to the board and we start to discuss the student fees. Last year, we put a presentation together to kind of highlight some of the concerns and wanted to kind of tell some of the background of kind of where we've been and where we are and where we hope to be going. So just a little bit of background, a reminder that the curriculum fees and the Kids Corner fees have remained the same since 2011 and 2012. Transportation fees have remained the same since 12-13. An early bird discount has been in effect since 2009-10. And this past year, approximately 85% of students are paying those early registration fees. Also with that, we want to don't want to lose sight of the referendum campaign of March of 2018. And some of the things that we talked about during that campaign. We know that we had a limiting rate increase of 85 cents or 0.85%. And as part of the referendum, we talked about balancing the school budget, maintaining class sizes, providing sufficient funding for deferred maintenance. And after surveying our community, it was determined that we would not reinstate those key staffing and programs that were cut in 2011. So as we're talking about fees, I think it's important to kind of always keep that fresh in our minds. Transportation, currently we have 955 riders. That's out of a little more than 2,200 students, excluding the early childhood programs.
This year, we have approximately 3.5% of students that have been approved for fee waivers. If you're approved for a fee waiver for curriculum, you are also approved for fee waivers for transportation. Mentioned before that 85% pay those early registration fees. That means that in terms of transportation, 85% of families are paying the $375, not the $450. And then right now, under our bus contract, a current cost for a single bus is $54,000. Little information about Kids Corner, and this looks a lot different than it did last year. Enrollment has gone up, especially at Lions Park. And for the first time in, I'd say in the history that we're aware, we actually had to close registration. We had to cap registration. Those are the numbers by school and by day. So the numbers are going up and again, have increased specifically at Lions Park. We've talked before about staffing at Kids Corner, and this has not changed either. Kids Corner positions are extremely difficult to fill. You have a few hours working in the morning. You have a few hours working in the afternoon. Through our human resources department, we've worked very hard over the years to open it up to Harper College, to Prospect High School, to find individuals that can work a handful of days in the afternoon, handful of days in the morning, to be able to open that up. Through our collective bargaining agreement for next year, those salaries will go up, but it is still, because of the hours, it is a very challenging positions to fill. So based on that, the proposal would be to keep the fees status quo for another year. I've broken them down like you've seen in the past, the difference between the early bird discount and then afterwards. So you see on this page the curriculum fees broken down by grade levels and then the different supplies and others such as yearbook and recorders, band practice books, PE uniforms, things like that. Transportation, as I mentioned before, would remain the same, $375 or $450. Keep in mind, 85% are paying the $375, not the $450. Field trips would be a cost. The clubs and extracurricular activities would remain the same. Normally, at this time, we would be talking about the lunch program, but as you know, after last board meeting, with the uncertainty of what's going to happen, knowing that we will not be continuing with District 25. At this point, those lunch program prices are to be determined. And then finally, there are no summer school fees for the ESY, except there are fees for band and orchestra. And again, for preschool Circle of Friends, even though the fees remain the same, the supply fees, which are, you know, related to food, may be going up depending on how we factor in with contracts and snacks, and then the Kids Corner fees would remain status quo. So at this time, I would open the floor for either a discussion or if you wanted me to clarify questions, I'd be more than happy to do that.
Okay, does anybody have any questions regarding student fees at this time? Jerry, go for it.
So at a recent meeting, actually, San Knippel had spoken to us about the impact going back to, you know, the implementation of the fees back, I think it was 2011-ish, mm-hmm. and the need, and had actually proposed that post-referendum, should we be pulling back on that, given the fact that the purpose was the financial stress of the district back then. I guess, what How much, do you have any idea how much of our budget is our revenue is actually due to some of those incremental fees that came in 2011? I'm sure some were there, but I believe we brought in more at that point.
I don't know exactly off the top of my head, but just, again, to speak to some of those things, most of these fees have remained unchanged since 11-12. 2011 was when the district went through those significant cuts. So since that time, they did not adjust any of those fees. The other thing, if you remember from last year, the board asked me to prepare a handful of different scenarios and how those scenarios would impact on our fund balances. And related to that was during the referendum, where we talked about maintaining and balancing. At no time during the referendum did we talk about decreasing student fees, decreasing transportation fees. So I'm just going, you know, I'm basing this on those ideas.
Rachel, go ahead.
And Adam, just to kind of reiterate what San had said, I think that this year from the TIF is the amount that we're getting extra or back or whatever is like 22,000. Mm-hmm. So if we're dividing it by student, we're looking at like $10. So part of our discussion is if it's significant, I guess, to parents to have even that discussion about reduction in that fee. You know, I know that was suggested, and perhaps is maybe a discussion for later years as there's more funds in that area. I don't know. I mean, that's correct, right? Like, that would be a $10 per essentially family.
Essentially, yes. Essentially, okay. Yes.
Okay.
Do you remember what it was going to be for the TIF, what it was going to be for next year for that portion that we get? It was more than the 22. I thought it was close to 80.
I don't know if I have that here.
But, I mean, we can't go ahead.
I know the second year wasn't a large increase. In the third year, they were anticipating a slightly larger increase with the idea that those developments that were in the TIF would be built and the school district would start to realize some students from there, and that's where those dollars would be increased from, let's say, 22,000 to approximately 80,000, something like that. But that's some of that is based on the idea of students coming into those developments.
Okay. Well, and plus, even with the money coming back, we can't decide every year. $10 this year, it's $20 next. Increase it by $30. We can't go back and forth. If we do make a decision on something like this, it has to be something that we would expect to have for at least a few years, not just one.
So to that point, I guess something to consider is for several years we've left the fee status quo. And so, you know, part of what, you know, we would recommend would be to leave it status quo, as opposed to if we look at the curriculum fees and we drop all the fees by $10. And then next year, we have to raise those by $5 and then raise them up to $10. Is that really the best way to go about business? Are a majority of the community and parents really going to feel good about a $10 decrease and then next year to have that $5 increase or $3 increase and then a $4 increase?
Jen? I don't have an answer to that question, Adam, but I guess I know, as you've stated, we've kept the pricing fees, the very various fees year over year, but also when we've had analysis done, we're higher than some of our neighboring districts. And I don't know what the percentage is. I think you shared it last year as well, like where do we compare with other districts? And so I think that's been over the years, at least as many years as I've been on this board, kind of the rub, if you will, with our parents is that when you look around compared to other districts, we have been higher. So the fact that we continue to maintain it doesn't necessarily feel like a win for a parent, I guess, because they feel like they're paying more than they should. I know in the past, last year, we also talked about, like, if we had multi-riders on transportation, could we give a discount? At the end of the day, we decided not to. I guess I understand that we want to keep the consistency. I also understand that all because the referendum passed, it doesn't mean that we can then, you know, slash all these various fees. But I wish there was just a little bit, I guess, more creativity or just something more to be able to, because we've talked year after year and everybody keeps throwing ideas of, like, could we do this or could we do that? And I think it would be, I think the parents would appreciate it. And I don't know what that answer is. But I feel like every year we look at the same fees and then we have to vote on it. So that's kind of where I'm at.
I have to say the last fee that we actually took away was the technology fee, and that was $25, and everybody had to pay for it, and that was taken off, and it hasn't come back. And I don't remember when the last time that fee was. It's been several years. So just to keep that in mind that we did take a fee away several years ago. If it's before you even?
Yeah, was the one thing.
And since it was a fee that affected everyone, everybody felt that that was a fee that they were okay with getting rid of, and it was $25. So I don't know if that helps in any ideas that people might have or any thoughts. Kim?
I was just going to say, Jen, I think to your point, you know, we just went through the satisfaction survey, which seems to indicate that, you know, a fair number of people view District 57 as being at least the same or better than some of the surrounding districts. And so to me, that makes a little bit more sense that we would, you know, charge more, quote unquote, for a somewhat better quality education. I think for me, the curriculum fees aren't as troublesome as I think the Kids Corner fees are. And I think to your point, like, that would be a really great area to institute, like, a multi-kid discount, because presumably, right, you're sending multiple kids for the same service. I mean, the Park District offers that as an option for a lot of their programming, and if it's not necessarily a financial need, right, which I think is indicated by the fact, like, we've kept these fees the same for the past 8 years, right, it's not like we're relying on this pool of money for salaries or anything like that that feeds into the program. I just wonder if that could be an option. This isn't quite related to the fee conversation, but the enrollment at Lyons for Kids Corner as compared to the other schools is a little concerning to me, especially given, right, that in the morning there's only 3 staff and then there's 4 in the afternoon. But for relatively the same number of kids for both sessions, I don't know what can be done about that, right? Because we've had these conversations about, well, it's really hard to staff. I did have this kind of crazy idea, given, right, that the only students that are using Westbrook after school, I guess, are PM kindergartners or first graders, right? And so that's why those numbers are so low. There's just a smaller pool of kids. If there was some way to even out the enrollment as between Lyons and Westbrook, and I know that would be crazy, like, how would we bus kids from Lyons to Westbrook? But it just seems like there's so much capacity there that's not being used to the same extent. And I know that after enrollment closed for Lyons, there were several families that I talked with that found themselves in need of those services that were no longer available to them. So again, tangential conversation, but I thought it was worth raising.
Vicki, go ahead.
Actually, I was going to talk a little bit about the Kids Corner, too. I mean, that's, 71. I mean, that's a lot of kids. And I don't know if you have, like, some sort of theory about what, I mean, my kids are in Kids Corner for the first time at Lyons Park. So, yeah, I don't know, like, what caused this amazing boom. But I wonder if, you know, what when it comes time, you know, in May for everyone to start registering, I don't know, are you going to have a lottery or, you know, something? You might have to start cutting people off sooner. Or
That may be a very good point. I mean, the first thing that we'll always look at is the the staffing and the staffing that's available. And as, you know, I come up here again and I'll, you know, ideally we would have more, you know, we're not limiting FTEs at Kids Corner. We would gladly hire another staff member or two to assist at Kids Corner, but we can't find anyone that's willing to work. So, and yes, 70 is a lot, not only with the staff, but also with the space.
Could that mean that the pricing is right? I mean, if such a great demand, supply demand, you'd say, well, let's raise the prices. I mean, I don't know. As far as I know, there's not a great clamoring to. There's not a great clamoring to decrease fees, and I if we reduced fees, I don't think it would be really would have a great impact. But ultimately, in 2 years, next year we increase fees, and then we'd have a lot of people here complaining. So, I think that if it's not broke, let's not try to fix it. So. And wait, one more point. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. And if those that are trying to get into Lions Park Kids Corner, why can't they go to the Park District?
I don't want to speak out of turn, and I can't really speak for the Park District, but if you remember last year at this time, we explored the idea of RecPlex as an option. Mm-hmm. And my understanding of the Park District is they are full.
Oh, okay.
And they are struggling with finding staff members in a similar way that we are.
Right.
I think, Brian, really quick, just to your question, my understanding is the Park District is the sole aftercare provider for District 59. And so they fill up with 59 students, such that when we had the option to send 57 students over there, they were already full before that even became a choice. I think when you registered, you could say, I'm interested in finding out about the possibility of sending my kids to RecPlex after school. And then even then, there was a question of transportation, like who would be in charge of that, or if that would be out of pocket for the parents too. So it didn't pan out, I think, the way that we would have liked it to.
Right.
Go ahead, Jen.
Sorry, just to reiterate, I mean, you know, just to remind everyone, I think everyone knows this, but again, like we have multiple schools in our, obviously in our district, that all start at different times, which is really frustrating as a parent. But we do that because of a variety of reasons, but also because it helps us from a cost perspective when we're trying to figure out the capacity from a transportation. So we utilize less buses as a result to be able to repurpose them through these various time schedules. So, you know, Lincoln first and then et cetera, et cetera. So we gain as a district as a result of that, not to have as many buses on the road, but as a result, the parents then have to figure it out. I mean, to have school start at 8:40, you basically have to live within 15 to 20 minutes of drop-off to be able to, or 15, 20 minutes before going to work at least, which is really hard. So most of us, we're fortunate in some ways that we do have a district mixed, not both with working parents as well as stay-at-home parents. So I think through the years, I've been here 15 years, we're creative and we knock on every neighbor and friend's door to help support the schedule that we have in the school district, but it's not easy. So as unemployment continues to be where it is today, I'm not surprised that there's probably an increase in perhaps working parents and therefore needing Kids Corner, which is increasing potentially the students wanting to go there. So it is really hard as a working parent to work with the scheduled hours that we have. So, you know, I feel for them only because I've dealt with it for 15 years. So that's all.
Okay. And just real quick to the point with the different, you know, school times. Also, there are, you know, parents who don't use the school bus just because they don't even want to. So you have to have staggered times because they can't be at two different schools at the same time. So no matter what, you're going to have the staggered times. But if you were to move the kids from Lions Park to Westbrook, you still have to wait till the Westbrook kids are done with school. So that's automatically 350. You have to wait till they're done with the buses before you could even move the Lions kids. I mean, just strategically, it would be at least an hour and a half, 2 hours before they could even get there. Yeah, I mean, just in that sense. Rachel?
And with the Kids Corner, Adam, just to confirm, so part of the money that we earn off of Kids Corner supplements the transportation fund, correct? It goes towards transportation to keep the transportation cost where it is? Is that not correct?
Not necessarily. So several years ago, I was asked to do an analysis of Kids Corner. And, you know, when we're dealing with our programs, all of the, you know, our programs all are funded through the education fund. And they're all funded through property tax dollars, fees, state funding, and federal funding. It is unusual that we would take a look at a specific program like Kids Corner, where we try to bring in all of the revenue and all of the expenditure and look at that as a standalone program. So at the time when we did that, what we showed was that the Kids Corner program was making a profit. Mm-hmm. And that was another argument from the community members and parents to be able to decrease fees, is that the idea was that the school district should not be making a profit. Another thing that was talked about at that time was if we lowered the fees, then more kids would show up to Kids Corner, and then the district wouldn't lose any of those funds. Well, as we've seen this past school year, more students coming into Kids Corner, we can't handle that. We can't staff that. Now, I don't have any numbers in front of me yet because we haven't done an analysis yet, but like for next year, the fees, right now these fees are scheduled to stay the same. The salaries are going to rise. The benefits are going to rise. All of the electrical costs and water and plumbing and everything will heat will rise. The food costs are almost definitely going to rise, going with a different vendor and provider, hoping, of course, we're going to get better snacks and better food. But so all those expenses are going to rise. So whatever happens with, you know, a profit loss statement, the expenditures for Kids Corner are definitely going to increase next year. Okay. So that's just something, a different thing to be able to take into consideration. If I was going to run an analysis like I did last year for Kids Corner using last year's actual numbers, it's not really a fair assessment of what is going to take place next year, because next year is going to look so different than it did last year or even this year. So just something to, you want to take all those things into consideration.
Did anybody else have any? Go ahead.
I don't want to take us like too far afield into the whole Kids Corner debacle, but I wonder, in lieu of making some arrangement with the Park District, whether there might be an option to work out something similar with the Y, because I know they offer their own before and after care program that this year I think was not very well attended, and possibly that's because it's just more convenient and easier to bring kids to school, right? So that's the Kids Corner increase, right? And truthfully, I wonder if that's not it, right? It's more convenient to drop your kids off at school by 7 a.m. than it is to get to the Y, which is on the same side of town. Mm-hmm. And then perhaps if the funds we were, I don't know.
The Y does not offer before school care. It's only after school.
Okay.
My kids are in the after school program there this year. And I think that there is some space, but certainly not, it's certainly not the size of a program that could accommodate 25 kids from District 57, because it also has students from nearby schools, but one that's in Des Plaines and one, so they draw from
from 57 and then from a couple other nearby schools, but only after school.
Okay. So I guess I just feel like given the capacity issues, given the community concerns, I think about the cost and sort of the quality, right, given our own internal staffing conundrum, it seems to make sense that we should be able to find some outside private somewhere to be able to run this program off-site and not have the space issues, have the staffing be somebody else's issue. I don't know what that means necessarily as far as cost. But the Park District runs a similar program for substantially less.
And we have the Park District runs their after-school program at the RecPlex, correct? Have we ever had a Park District, has there ever existed a Park District program like at Lions Rec Center or at Central Community Center that are literally a block away from each of our schools? Has that ever been brought up even?
I can tell you about, again, it was this time last year when I was working with the Park District and having those conversations about possibilities and then going back in May and having those same conversations and them just being very concerned with the lack of staff to be able to support, you know, because I was being conservative saying, okay, we'll get 15 kids out of Kids Corner into the Park District. And in December and January, 15 kids was, okay, we could probably handle that. In May, 15 kids was, no, they're already full. So there's, you know, again, I'm not trying to speak for them, but they're struggling. They struggle with space. So I mean, I love the ideas and I love the feedback and I wish we could come up with other options. And we'll continue to listen and discuss what those other options are. But it is just it is a challenge.
One other question in regards to the high number of kids at Lions Park for next year, if it were to go that high, would you put a cap before it even got to that 70?
I would definitely recommend that.
Okay. And then, I mean, we are increasing, you know, the salary, so hopefully that will be an incentive in some way to get some more staff. But I get
we hope
have the same problem as they do. It's these little bit of hours.
It's working 6:30 to 9 a.m. and 3:45 to 6 p.m.
Right.
And again, we've that's why we opened it up probably 2 years ago to say, hey, we can work mornings only, we can work afternoons only. If you're a student taking college classes, you can work Tuesdays, Thursdays, or Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays. That's why in some of the schedule, when you see the, you know, 22 hours, 15 hours, 18 hours, it's because we've found people that are willing to work several days, and we've said, hey, we'd rather have you work several days than no days, because all the help we can need, we can use all the help we can need.
Yeah.
But again, the consequence of that is it's not fully staffed 5 days a week in the AM and the PM.
Do we ever have Kids Corner staff that, or like, I guess, are these hours, these 22 and a half and 15, are they with outside of contractual hours for like the MPEA? Do we ever have a person who's wants to work, you know, Kids Corner in the morning as support staff during the day and Kids Corner in the afternoon?
We have talked about that as opening that up as a possibility too. We have not been approached by individuals who want to do that, but we've definitely brought that up. If there was an instructional assistant who wanted to work all day and then come in either early or later and work those extra hours, we would definitely allow them to do that.
Yeah.
But we have not had anyone who has taken that at this point.
And we haven't incentivized it for current employees, right? We've just said that this is the offer. I mean, is that an option to incentivize it for people who are already at the schools?
We have not. I mean, we've definitely had conversations with the idea that, you know, those individuals could work these jobs. Talked about before, by having the salaries increase, we're hoping that we could have individuals. We're hoping that we'll have, You know, if we can get another staff member at each of these locations, that would be great. But I don't know what's going to happen with staffing for this program.
Vicki, go ahead.
I just, so Adam, this might be a very fruitless exercise, but I wonder if as a board we would want to ask Adam to at least approach the Park District again and maybe approach the Y and say, look, is there any possibility? And it might be like, no way. But then at least you could come back to us and be like, no, it's not a possibility to partner with the Y. It's not a possibility to partner with RecPlex. And then we could stop talking or, yeah, considering it.
So on that note, so what is the question?
So last year you approached RecPlex.
I approached RecPlex, and there was some changeover in staff. Mm-hmm. And so last year I approached RecPlex and asked them, is this possible?
Yeah.
And they said in winter, they said it is possible. And then in spring, they said it was not possible because they were full. So I could definitely go back to the Park District in May. Really, it's like August, though, to say, do you have open spots? I did not approach the Y. I could approach the Y to see if they have open spots and how many open spots and what that would look like. But then again, we still have the logistics of getting students from the element from the schools to the Y. One of the biggest advantages of Kids Corner from the very beginning is it's right at the school. Kids go to the school, they walk right in. They leave the school, they walk right in, as opposed to being either driven or transported from a bus or shuttle. So that would just be logistics that we would have to work out if there were spaces available.
Well, if they could maybe potentially have a program at the Lions Rec Center, that would totally help Lions Park, especially since they have the highest, and it's
true,
literally across the field.
Agree 100%.
So maybe potentially, you know, if they knew our numbers, maybe they would consider starting something. You know, if they knew that they could get 25 kids.
I'd be more than happy to have that conversation again. And that it's just my, just from what I learned last year, I don't believe in January I'd be able to have any concrete answer of, you know, if they could provide it. But I definitely will ask. I will definitely reach out to both the Park District and the Y and discuss that possibility.
I think what we're talking about in that regard is a bigger collaboration than what was pursued before in terms of, like, could we add District 57 kids to the program you already have?
Versus.
It's really, could we develop a whole different program that would serve, you know, possibly this school in particular,
yeah,
if not also at Central Community for Westbrook as well? You know, so I think it's a different tone to the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, too, I mean, they use that space in the evenings, like for dance class and things like that. I don't know that they would have capacity. I'm still
right,
fully on board with asking.
Right. You can always ask. Also, in regards to, now we had, of course, a surplus of $200,000 this year. So if we continue to have surpluses versus any, you know, deficit, that's a potential to consider these fees again, and also to see where we're at with the increase in salaries and benefits, where that cap is, what we are spending versus what we're getting in, to more evenly even it out at that point. But that would be a more next year phase, being we don't know,
correct,
how many people we will have working, if we might have more people staffed,
right,
and get people in.
I can definitely complete a projection exercise, but just with the understanding that that's all, it's a projection.
Do you guys want to see that, to see the what the potential would be
for January?
Yeah.
Using
what the projected salaries, benefits would be. I know you can't do the food per se, but I guess you can guesstimate what that might be. I mean,
am I putting a cap Am I capping Lions Park at 60 like Fairview is?
Yeah. Okay. We'll cap it at 60.
Okay.
Okay. And then we'll see what the differential is between the two.
Okay.
And then I am a bigger proponent, though, of giving back to the entire community of the schools versus just that small. But I know that they do pay more into what they spent. So I could potentially get behind something like that. So if you could bring that would be great to see.
No problem.
Okay. Any other questions? Nope. We are going to move on.
Thank you.
Superintendent's report.
I only have one FOIA to report out. We received a request on December 9th from Alice Anderson. She requested teacher job postings from January 1, 2016. We responded on December 12th and sent her 132 job postings from January 1, 2016 to present. That's all I have.
Okay. Okay, now we have the consent agenda. Jen, you did the bills. Okay. Does anybody want to pull anything from the consent agenda at all? Okay. Can I get a motion to? Oh wait, was everybody was here when for the last one? Okay. So can I get a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Motion to approve items of the consent agenda. Number one, minutes of the following Board of Ed meeting, the regular business meeting on November 21st, 2019, open and closed sessions. Number two, personnel transactions, except the resignation of one ESP employee. Number three, the financial report from November 2019. Number four, accounts payable bills. And number five, approve the 2020-2021 school calendar. Second.
Member Fay?
Yes.
Member Kobus?
Yes.
Member May?
Yes.
Member McCluskey?
Yes.
Member Rotroff?
Yes.
Vice President Chung?
Yes.
President Kowalczyk?
Yes. Okay, next up, we have no unfinished business. And then do we have any more community comments? No? No takers now. Okay. For new business, we have to approve the resolution for the authorizing levy. If I can get a motion for that one specifically.
Okay, so motion to approve resolution 191219, authorizing levy and reduction of certain fund levies for the 2019 levy year.
Second.
Member Bryant?
Yeah.
Member Kobus?
Yes.
Member May?
Yes.
Member McCluskey?
Yes.
Member Rotroff?
Yes.
Vice President Chung?
Yes.
Member Fay?
Yes.
President Kowalczyk?
Yes. Okay, now we have the first read of the Board of Education policies. Does anybody have any questions regarding any of the? No? Okay. Then. We will approve them at the next meeting. Let's see. Now we have board discussion, our spring community forum date and topic. All right. Get your calendars out. Do you guys want to do this in February or March? And remember, March, you only have really the beginning of the month, per se, because you have spring break the last week.
Was there a particular evening or?
Do we want to stick with a potential?
I would take the first Thursday in March.
The first Thursday in March. For March 5th instead of a meeting, we would do that instead. Would we want to do it at Lincoln, or would we want to do it at the library, like we've done some others, or a specific school? Go ahead.
I think it would be really great to do it at Lincoln, especially in light of our conversation and likely the fact that many of the non-parent, non-staff don't have the opportunity to see the school and really get a feel for what the space constraints are and the...
Be a great one.
Yeah, I think that'd be.
Everybody on board for March 5th?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And then we're going to, our topic will be the survey. And then specifically, do we want to delve more into that question regarding what people want us to do with Lincoln, the build new, renovate, get more information. So the get more information would be really more cost-wise, like specifically what would you do for renovation, specifically where a new building would be possibly, and more breakdown of an actual cost versus an estimate. You know what I'm saying? Does anybody else have any? Vicki?
I guess I would, I definitely think that should be part of the conversation, but I think the way that we announce it to the public has to be really that this is just, we're sharing the results of the community survey, and this is one part of it. I think if the perception was like, oh my goodness, this is, you know, back-to-back referendums, no. Then everyone's going to go, they're going to lose their minds.
That's
so
correct.
Let's just make sure people understand, like, this is part of it, but it's to share all of the results. Yeah.
Correct. Share all the results, specifically this. We are not going for referendum, but just what people are thinking and talking about and what people potentially might want for this school district.
Yeah,
Jerry?
Just one point, if we're going to do that, that we, you know, I think it was helpful when folks came here when all the construction was done to do a tour. But in that case, it probably would be good perspective for people to actually maybe take people around the building, because I don't think people have the perspective on the split level, you know, the front being old, then you go into the split level, then you go back down, you know, you kind of ramp back down, and, you know, it's kind of a maze there that probably a lot of people have not been through to right. get perspective before we get feedback from people.
And to tell them that there's, you know, how many, over 700 students going through those hallways, and that you can only go up one way and go down another, otherwise yeah. you can't.
It wouldn't work.
It yeah. wouldn't work. And showing the beautiful lockers.
Show and tell.
Show and tell. I mean, if would a tour potentially be open for that?
Sure.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. All right. So we have it set, 7 o'clock, March 5th at Lincoln. Okay. And it's just to discuss survey results. No referendum. Okay. Now, no closed session needed, correct? All right. We can have a motion to
move to adjourn.
Thank
Second.
You.
Yes.
Member McCluskey?
Yes.
Member Rotroff?
Yes.
Vice President Chung?
Yes.
Member Fay?
Yes.
Member Kobus?
Yes.
President Kowalczyk?
Yes. And thank you all in the audience for staying and enduring this with us. Appreciate it. Have a great holiday. Have a good break. Enjoy if you go on a trip. Get some warm sun. That'd be nice. All right. Thank you very much.